Wow. It's hard to follow Chris, man. The brother's like cut from my flesh. I love him, man. I love him. I'm gonna start on something, though, that I kind of wove into my last earlier service here this last week, and you know, any pastor that preaches will tell you, it's during the week that they're preparing typically for a message, God is doing something. And he's at work with people, places, and things, kind of bringing highlights to certain things in your network influence, in your world. And in this last week, I was confronted with two different young ladies that are trying to kill themselves, and folks that are trying to help them. And what God is speaking to me is that the serpent is in the garden. The very first person that committed suicide, who was it? Very first person. Think broadly. Eve was the first person who killed herself. She gave up her spiritual life. She gave over the closeness and the perfectness that she had. What she was made for. Because she listened to a story that was whispered into her ear. She meditated on a story and replayed a story again and again that was given to her by a serpent, a deceiver who told her to kill herself and promised her, God surely is not going to let you die. But he lied. He lied. Where did that destruction lead? By believing a wrong story. By believing a story that's woven from someone else that's not God. It led her to kill her own husband. Take his life too. It brought her into a world of destruction because she was the mother of the first murderer. We will become the story that we believe. The story that we replay in our mind over and over is what we will live. And the serpent's in the garden. And the challenge, really, family, is what story will you believe? Are you filling yourself with just that story? Is that what you're looking deeply into? Is that what you're thinking on? The challenge is for our young people right now. A lot of us here, family, are folks that are about my age who the Lord has preserved through all kinds of stupid stuff, right? Amen? Like, none of us should be here. And it's only by the sake of grace that God has managed to save us from our own stupid thinking and get us to this place where we can say, oh, I have a new revelation and a new story I can look into. God is about the business of giving us the story of life, and we speak to ourselves the story of death over and over and over and over. And it becomes who we are. But what does God do? What does he do with Eve? What does he do with someone who has become so ingrained in that this is who I am? That's all I know. God will never love me now because of the decisions that I've made, because of the way I think. God doesn't have a place for someone like that, does he? Or does he? He does. You know, Mary, the Theotokos, the mother of God, woman was redeemed because she was obedient to the story that she was told. All she had to do was believe. Mary Magdalene was saved from 7 demons. She demonstrated that by worship and acknowledgement of the gospel, that Jesus is Lord, that he really is risen, woman was redeemed. That her failings, that her faults, that the dirtiness of her life, that her belief in the wrong things can be washed and reborn. God has raised up a church that's his bride. Do you not know that when Jesus came into the world, the first man, the way men were supposed to be made, came to being? And he's looking for a bride who he'll wash with the water of his word, who he'll cleanse and make right. You see, this is Jesus' work. It's his business. It's what he does is to heal. It's what he does is to make new. And it's the story that he has to share with you that will transform you. What does he call us to do? He calls us to believe the story. What story did he put in Mary Magdalene's mouth when she was the one at the tomb? Go tell my disciples to meet me in Galilee. Amen. Man, I'm raised from the dead. There ain't nobody left in the tomb. She became the first person to share the gospel of the living Lord. God can do that. Men and women in our lives, he can take us out of the thing that we've been deceived by and bring us into a story of life to transform us, to transform the way we look at ourselves, to transform the world we look into, to give us a different set of eyes. It's his work. It's his business. It's what he's professional at. It's his job. My message is not at all composed of any of this. It's just something I didn't touch on deep enough in the last service, and it was kind of plaguing me during worship, because the reality is that for two, that would represent many more statistically of folks here, of people we know. And all of us, I'm going to dive into my message right now, but all of us believe a story because we're bred in that story. We're raised in that story. People tell us who we are. Amen? People label us. We label ourselves. We identify as this and that. Popular thing today, right? Right? We do everything except for look into the things of the Lord and say, no, this is me. One of the keys of being a good pastor is recognizing that you're representing the King. And you have no right to do that. It's mind-blowing. So you literally have to just put on your superhero suit, put on your tights, and you don't want to see me in tights, trust me, and put a cape on and a little mask on, and you have to believe the unbelievable. That yes, I can stand in the position of God and speak his word and do it boldly and with confidence because he's called me to the occasion. Not because I can do anything about it, but because he's done something in my life and trained me and taught me something that's realer. Can you say that, realer? Is that a word? It's realer than real life, what we call life. I get to enter into a word that says, my blood is precious to the King, that he'll avenge my blood. My dad, I'm important to him. He looks out for me. I got a good pop because ain't nobody ever going to come after me. If they do, they're going to get his stick, not mine. And he says that about you too. Today is Independence Day, and we're in a series about perseverance. I'm going to kick something over to you guys. We're going to talk about being in dependence of the Lord. And I will tell you absolutely that the key to perseverance lies in the story of dependence. If we can't depend on God, we will not persevere. So really what we're going to look at is the story of Abram. And we're just going to look at a very small piece of it. We're going to look at his call. Because his call is unique. It's weird. Frankly, it makes no sense because it just seems so random. But we're going to get in there and we're going to show you that, one, it's not random, and two, it makes a whole lot of sense. Genesis 12, 1 through 3, the Lord is speaking to Abram, and he says, Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and from your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Yeah, it is time. Are we good? We ready? Should we break now? Is he coming? No. So here's a passage that a lot of folks have heard and heard many times. Some of you guys, maybe it's new to you. But essentially, you've got a guy named Abram who is living in a country that is known for its worship of idols. Frankly, Abram was a dude who, he comes from a pretty messed up background. He's actually living in it when God calls him. The guy's family is known for being manipulative, narcissistic, jealous, pretty much just kind of caught up like a lot of our families. And yet, for whatever reason, God thinks it's a smart thing to take a guy like Abram and promise him something different. He says, go, and I'll give you something that you cannot give yourself. Go, leave behind everything that you know, because everything you know has got nothing to do with where I'm taking you. And it's a mighty thing to think that we have a God who can look at us when we're caught up in our stuff and see something better. And not just see something better, but see something that we don't see ourselves. And if he sees it, he means he's already made a way for it. Abram's part is to jump on the bandwagon and go. And I think that's the hard part. You know, I had a friend call me this week dealing with one of those situations, and I've never had to go through something like that personally. I've dealt with a lot of folks who have. But all I could do was give a story about my life, not because it's the same, but because it involves suffering and not knowing, but still going through and persevering. My family, we've had a daughter in prison for over 12 years now, and she has had a heart issue ever since she's been down. She has a valve that's not good in her heart, causes major blood pressure fluctuations that can cause strokes and kill you, cause you to pass out and fall over and crack your head on the concrete, basically kill you in your sleep. So I've lived with my wife, who for 12 years or more, every day she wakes up and she doesn't know if she's going to get a call from one of my daughter's friends saying that she's dead. Every day, I go to bed with a woman who worries about the next day. Every day. And this woman loves God. And she depends on him to bring our daughter the distance. She doesn't know, but she walks every day depending on the goodness of God. Depending on the story that God has shared with her. Because the serpent in her garden is telling her, no, her daughter ain't coming home. She'll end up being buried in a state garden somewhere. Those of you who are mothers know what it's like to be a fractured person when your children aren't in your life. That you're not whole. It astonished me for the first time, and I had a conversation. We were just totally talking off the cuff, and we were very eager because Brittany, our daughter, she's actually cleared parole, you know. And then the prison board said, no, we're going to keep you. And you're going to finish your term even though you've been cleared to go. And so every day now is just a mind-numbing day. Because it's like, Lord, we've been waiting for 12 years. And the folks said she could go, and she's done all the hoops she can jump through, and then you still won't let her go. And every day, you know, Deanne has to choose. She has to choose what story she's going to listen to. She doesn't get to choose whether or not it makes sense. But she can live for God's glory and hope in that promise, or that she can listen to the serpent in her garden, the deceiver that wants her to destroy herself and everyone else around her. And Abraham had to listen to one story or another. He knew his family's story. He knew where his family was at and where they were going. They had already had 75 years to speak into his life, define who he was and characterize him and put a label on him. He'd lived long enough to take that label and own it. But then there's always that but God thing, right? And the but God part is that God came and spoke to him and said, "No, Abraham, I've chosen you to go. We represent Abraham as his children. We are the children of promise that he was given. God said, man, if you go, I will bless you, and nations will come from you, and they will be blessed by you." When the angels came to the shepherds and they glorified God at the birth of Jesus, what did they say? That the one that is going to bless all nations is here. And he's here. It's for us now. And do we believe it? Will we enter into it? I'm going to give you three axioms. If you take anything away from today, you hold on to these things for dear life. Because you got to change your thinking. Your thinking is messed up. I guarantee you that none of y'all come in here without just a worldview that has been enculturated by this world. Like, you think on this world, you dwell on this world, and it affects every single decision you make. Your world is too small, is what I'm going to tell you, and God demands that your world gets a lot bigger. The first one is that we are only as strong as the person we depend on. How many of you guys here are pros at depending on yourself? Me? How's that working? Yeah. You know, I know that when I was out there in it, like, I've always been a very industrious person, so I was never satisfied. Anyone get that? I was never satisfied with what was in front of me. Always building, building, building. And somewhere along the way, a person, place, or thing would come along and just dash it to pieces. Year, 2 years, 3 years, 10 years worth of effort just gone to nothing. And here I am left starting all over again. If I'm going to depend on something to get me through, it's funny because God placed eternity into man's heart. We have a concept of something greater than us, and we have a dependence on trying to find it, and all of us are searching in some kind of way. How do I get that? But we put a crutch under us. This crutch, it might be another person. It might be something else. It might be some kind of philosophy. It might be a drug. It might be alcohol. Whatever it is, it becomes a crutch, and this is what we're leaning on to get us to the distance that we're going. But if what you depend on is not permanent, if it doesn't last forever, it's going to crumble under you. And because you're one of God's children, one of the things I can say, that for those of you that love the Lord, God will make sure it doesn't last under you, because he doesn't want it under you. He doesn't want you having some kind of crutch. He wants you having him. So don't be surprised when God runs roughshod over your life, you know, and it's all of a sudden everything's blowed up and into pieces. It's because the Lord wants you to find him and depend on him, because he wants you to make it the distance. And he knows that the only way you're going to make it the distance is by leaning on him. The second axiom is this, is you are only as deep as the depth of the thing that you look into. A lot of us on Facebook all day, or Instagram, you know, some kind of gram. We spend our life absorbed in what other folks are doing and being and saying. A lot of us are focused on our jobs and our careers and where we're going and what's going to happen tomorrow if I work really hard today, and that's what we look into. I believe today that God is not looking for intellectual people. He doesn't need smart people. He needs deep people. He needs people that look long into the things that can't be seen, that look long into his word, into the place that they've been called to live. I've always been astonished, and to this day I am, the apostles, in the letters that they write, in the gospels, they speak on a plane that's like they're living like on another planet or something. It's just almost mind-blowing in how they perceive things, but it's because they've learned to live into the eternal narrative, into something that's bigger than them. They couldn't create it for themselves, but they could enter into it because God gave them the faith to do that. And so they can talk about things almost as if they're standing outside the world looking down at it. There's power in that place. They figured something else out that we need to figure out. The exciting thing about a Christian is being on the journey to get there, because God allows us to come into that journey. But we got to make it the distance, guys. And the last axiom is this, is that you're only going to endure. You will only persevere for as long as the thing that you depend on lasts. I was in a bottle for 16 years. That bottle broke me. And it was my friend for a long time. But frankly, you know why I was in the bottle? It was because I had a committee in my head. I literally, at one time in my life, had 20 people speaking at the same time in my head, and I was nothing but a ball of confusion. I was so bad to the end that I couldn't even complete a sentence, either in my mind or verbally, because I was in just utter confusion with so many voices. My head was so busy. When I started to come to the Lord and I started to fall into His Word and I looked more and more deeply into His Word, a new voice started to take root in my life. And one of the greatest blessings, frankly, that I have ever been given from God was early on in my sobriety and my walk with the Lord, was one voice at a time was canceled. Slowly, but one voice at a time, until there was a time, and I'll never forget it, that my head was quiet for the first time. And it was an amazing thing. And the way that happened was by looking into something, a word that spoke something different. Something different had to be said in my life. Something that had teeth. Something that had power. Something that could transform me and engage me and take me somewhere else. And it didn't matter where I was starting out from. It didn't matter what I said about myself. It didn't matter what people said about me. It didn't matter what I thought were limitations. That didn't stop God. The Lord chose me in order to do something with me. He wants a return on His investment. Amen? He chose us because He wants to see something happen to us. He wants us to enjoy this thing and get our teeth into it and do something with it. And so He called Abraham and He said, go. You know, today we celebrate Independence Day. The signing of the Declaration of Independence, this is what we're celebrating. It actually happened 2 days before. It was July 2nd when it was actually signed. But it is the establishment of our republic. I made the mistake in our first service by calling us a democracy. I forgot that we're a republic that has a democratic government. So I'm glad that that was cleared up. If any of you were wondering, we are a republic with a democratic government. Okay, so that being said, why did we establish it? We established it because as a group of colonies in 1776, up to that point in time, we were under the rule of a monarchy. And that monarchy told us how to live, where our money was going, how to worship, and all the fruit of our labor belonged to that monarchy. And we said, no, we don't want that anymore. So during the signing of this, one of the original framers, his name was John Adams, he wrote to his wife Abigail about the spirit of that day. And this is what he writes. It's a pretty amazing word. He says, yesterday, the greatest question was decided, which ever was debated in America, and a greater, perhaps never was or will be decided among men. A resolution was passed without one dissenting colony that these united colonies are, and of right ought to be, free and independent states, and as such, they have, and of right, ought to have full power to make war, conclude peace, establish commerce, and to do all other acts and things which other states might rightfully do. This is a celebration on this day, what we've celebrated since we were born. And again, I started off by saying y'all have been programmed and you have a worldview, whether you realize it or not. But this is what we're brought up in. We celebrate today as a day of freedom that's defined by self-dependence, self-reliance, and self-rule. Now, if you're a nation state, that's a good thing. Because we as a nation state have had many men and women give their lives selflessly and die to protect our freedoms. And praise God, we're in the best democracy, best republic that this world knows or has ever known. We're privileged. And we owe greatly to the lives that were spent to protect that. But at the same time, even this nation is not going to persevere unless it finds a cause that's greater than itself. It will not. And right now, it's bent on its own self-dependence, self-reliance, and self-rule. God grants us a greater freedom if we will depend on Him. Because this is the deal. I'm going to give you three little keys here about dependence. True perseverance comes from dependence. How does it happen? Well, a man has to be given a destiny that's greater than he can make for himself. Like I said, Abraham was a man, think about it, come from a jacked up place. I got all my priorities kind of backwards, even though it makes sense for the world that I live in. I've got questionable appetites. I'm willing to protect my own life by putting my wife out there and prostituting her. Anything I can do to manipulate my way through life, I'm going to do. And yet God chooses me. Okay, I think some of us can probably qualify as being acceptable that God might actually choose me too. We have similarities with these folks that come in the biblical story, and getting to know these stories is really key because you'll find yourself. See, it doesn't matter where we've been. Man, God can take anything. God will take anyone who will love Him back, who will be willing to follow the word that He gives. Because He loves us. He made us. The very earth that we were worshiping, and I was just praying, and it's like, you know, Lord, you took a scoop of dirt and you formed it with your own hands and you breathed your own breath into it to make us. Don't tell me you're not precious to the living God. But do you depend on Him? You see, perseverance first lies in being brought into something that's not going to be hindered by the mistakes that you've already made and the sins and the jacked up stuff you've done. If you already think there's a barrier right at the front gate, you're never going to go. But God doesn't do that to you. He just says, go. It's okay, just go. I have a plan for you, just go. For us to get perseverance, we've got to be able to embark on an adventure that's greater than we can dream. Guys, for a dude that was stuck in a bottle that was violent and abusive, whose kids would literally, when I would pull up when I got home from work, these kids would split. They would run until dad was passed out. That's the kind of guy I was. It baffles me today that God can bring a child into my life now who has never seen me with a drink in my hand, who has never known a guy who's got an abusive mouth or an abusive mind, who only wants to see him succeed rather than blame him for the issues and the problems of his life. God can do anything. He can transform us. He can take us to a place we could never dream for ourselves. Our imagination does not limit God. And what we've chosen for ourselves is most of the time not what He's going to choose for us. And our idea of a good deal is not His idea of a good deal. He wants something better for us, better than we can choose ourselves. But it's got to be something, too, that I can jump in on. It can't be something that my past is going to hinder, or even my very present. For those of you that are today, like, just kind of caught, like God can take you from that place of being caught right now, right where you sit, and completely transform it and put you out on something different if you just go. If you just go and follow Him. If you go out to the place that He's called you out to, He'll put you on a mission and an adventure that's greater than anything you've ever embarked on. And the last thing is this, is that something, if I'm going to do this, if I'm really going to be like Abraham and go, there has to be something that has the power to make me able I need to be able to enter into that place of power myself. One of the things that always, I don't know about you, but when I was out there, like, I'm not doing the whole drunk testimony thing, but I literally would see myself, like my life was in my hands like sand. And it was all my life, every possession, everything I cared for, everything I loved was right here, and I would try to hold on to it by squeezing it. And the harder I squeezed it, the quicker it would slip through my fingers. And that's what my life felt like. It's like the harder I tried, the more screwed up stuff got. And I never knew that, you know, this is the Lord literally trying to get my attention to show me that it's not, I can't depend on me to hold on to that stuff. It's not for me to hold on to. It was always His. It always will be His. It never was mine to begin with. My children, my wife, my job, all of it belongs to Him. My heartaches, my trials, my blessings, my joys, it's all His. But to receive it, I got to walk into it. If I want the power, I have to be with the one. I have to depend on the one that has the power to bring me into the place where the treasure is. That's the only way I'm ever getting in. I'm not getting there on my own resources. I'm not going to get in there on some promise that some person gives me or some drug gives me or some thing gives me, some idea. It's only the Lord. It's only my faith in Him that's going to do it. See, I think John Adams had the wrong idea when he said that the greatest question that man has ever entertained or ever will entertain is being answered today. I think that that's about the most foolish statement that a man can make. It's so because it's just so short-sighted. Men can't come up with the best ideas. God's got the best idea, amen? You know, so it's like we got to kind of figure out what that looks like. Now, I'm going to share this with you. We have a king who has called us into a freedom that's altogether foreign and even adversarial to our idea of freedom. Like, each one of us, I had a brother come sit and chat with me in between services, and he's dealing with this right now, and it's crazy because it's just so true. Each one of us has a worldview. You have been enculturated in America as a free individual with rights and privileges. You become a Christian, now you belong to a king who rules over you. It's now a monarchy. You belong to Him. You serve Him. You live for Him. You die for Him. He's given you a word that will take you a further distance than anything that you can make for yourself, but you've been brought up in a world that tells you, no, make it for yourself. Like your kids, you make kids for yourself too. Make it for yourself and look, you'll have stuff. Work harder and you'll have stuff. Dig deeper and you'll find stuff. Maybe you'll even have people follow you if you have some really good idea. But we have to choose. We have to choose what we're looking for because God called Abram away. These are the kind of things where the Bible and reading your word and meditating on it becomes so important because we have to see how God interacts with His folks. He's not going to deal with you any differently than He dealt with Abram. God doesn't change His ways. He's the same all the time, always, and forever. He said, go away from the things you depend on. Go away from determining your own life and come into this place of promise. You see, to be with the Lord is to be in a place of absolute dependency, not independence. When we depend on the Lord, and Pastor Chris said this to me during in-between services too, and it's very prominent. Like if we depend on the King, then the King gives us a liberty in Christ that is greater than any kind of liberty we could ever experience doing it on our own. Now I'm going to tell you what, man, I come from a background of working on Skid Row as a chaplain and being in prisons and jails for a lot of my life preaching, and I've met plenty of folks who know nothing about financial freedom or security, who know nothing about having their own stuff, who are a lot more free than the folks I meet in church because they've been willing to enter into a story that's bigger than themselves and they depend on that. That's their life's blood. If they don't have that, they got nothing. And so they live into it because it's what they have. And God honors them by that because they're, frankly, they're up here looking down at what's going on. And they're like, okay, man, it's all taken care of, man. God's good. He's got my time. He's got my energies. He's got my future and he's got my present. And my past don't matter, amen? Because he's taken me from that and he's offered me this and he's given me a freedom that's really free. Because God can give greater to the one that will go. God will give greater to the one that depends on him. So we can be here stewing and stirring up our own idea of freedom, but we can know what real freedom is. So we need to decide what we're looking for. Are you looking for a self-determining freedom, or are you looking for a freedom that's based on Christ by bearing the cross that he's given you to bear and entering into his kind of a freedom? So I'm in the same place as I was last service, where I'm finally to the message and we're out of time. I'm good like that. You know, us pastors, we can talk a long time. Like as intimidating, it's so funny because to this day, I've been preaching for a lot of years, not very well, but I've been preaching for a lot of years, and I always get nervous, you know, and even today I was nervous before I came up, and I'm like, gosh, what am I going to say? This is going to be stupid. I'm just like, whatever. And I get up here, and it's all good, and it's cool. But then I get to talking, guys. And so I apologize for the talking. But I want to teach you about dependence, because on today, literally the culture that surrounds you, the meaning of this day, is just absolutely anti-Christian. It is not what Christ has called us to. Christ has called us to be ruled by God, to depend on God, to be deep, deep people, because we spend time looking into words that are eternal, not external. We look to words that belong to heaven, not here on earth. We don't belong here, man. I meet so many folks that aren't ready to die yet, that are still waiting to go on a vacation somewhere, enjoy something of this life or something. And it's like, why? This world is the world that killed our Savior. This world murdered our God. If Jesus were here today, they'd kill him again. And yet we want to hang out here like there's something here for us. And we live like the things that are in front of us right now are the things that matter. And yet God has told us to totally, he said, go, leave your nation, leave your father's house, and leave all your junk, leave all your kindred. Everything you're loyal to, everything that's defined you, and everything that provides you security, leave it behind. Wow, God demands a lot, huh? Well, he does. God is looking for deep people. God is looking for you to enter into his blessing. He's got a journey and an adventure for you to go to. He's got a treasure at the end of that road, wherever the end of your road goes, for you that belongs to you. The Word of God says that if we overcome, we inherit. Abraham had to embark, but what did it mean to him? For him to leave out, for him to go. Because if it meant something to him, it's going to mean something to you. How did he do it? That's always the thing we always ask. You know, sermons can be cool, but like, how do you do it part? So the how do you do it part, Abraham left. How did he do it? Because he believed that the promise that was given was greater than one that he could make for himself. And he believed that. Do you believe that as a Christian? Do you really believe that the promise of God, the living hope, that you live a resurrected life, that you have a seat at his table, that truly and truly that you have a shepherd who has gone through the valley of death and made a way for you so that your way is safe, and he's leading you to a mountaintop where there's a table seated, where you got a place at that table, and he'll anoint your head with oil in front of the face of your enemies while you laugh. Do you believe that? Like, that's what God wants to take you on. This isn't just for like this isn't playing around. God is serious and he demands serious. He wants us to enjoy this, but we got to go. And so Abram was a kind of a kooky dude, and he said, I can believe that. You made a promise. You're the living God. You came and spoke to me just like today's word. This word right here should speak to you. That's God's design. And there's a call within that word for you and for me. Let it speak to you because it's for you. Abram had to turn on his back on everything he knew in order to enter into a new future. How do you do that? Everything? My kids? Jesus says I got to hate my wife and my kids and my home and my neighbors, and I won't be worthy to follow him if I don't keep him first in all things. How do you do that? Once again, the key is in dependency. The story of dependency would say this. He believed the promise would provide him a real mission for his life. When we talk about life mission, we talk about purpose. All of us are always trying to find out, well, why am I here? Why am I, God, why didn't you put, why? Look at this world. Look how I'm jacked up. Look at the past. Look at what's going on. Look at what it looks like my future is going to be. Why? God has crafted for you and I a particular mission. It's unique to each one of us. Based on the gifts he'll give us, based on the calling of our life, based on the generation we live in, the family we live around. Man, God has crafted a mission for you to give purpose. Why am I here? And when you want to discover that, Abraham did. Final thing is that for Abraham to endure, because this message is about endurance, perseverance, for him to endure the lifelong journey that this would impose, he had to have a sense of assurance. Just like we do. He had to believe that this promise that he had received really had the power to take him into the treasure that it promised. He had to believe that. See, there's no magic recipe to this, guys. It's you got to hear a different story like you're hearing today than the story that's constantly going on in your head. And you have to weigh the power of this story against all the other garbage that you bring into your life every day. There is a spiritual law that was created at the foundation of creation. When God began to make things, he made trees and plants of their own kind with seed within them so that that seed would reproduce a new generation of the same kind of stuff. It is the law of sowing and reaping. You will reap what you sow. Whatever you sow in like kind, you're going to reap. And if you sow deeply into God's stuff, if you sow deeply into his word and you get yourself entrenched in it, and that's what you look deeply into, you will become deep in the things of God. And what you reap will be rich in the things of God. That's how you do it. This is what got Abraham through every day. There was no magic answer. He had trials and problems and issues, and he dealt with them in jacked up ways. And the only thing that preserved him was keeping going back to God. He just kept going back. I'm going to worship you here, God. I may not get it right, but I'm still going to worship you. I'm still going to focus on you, and I'm still going to make you the front man in my life. You see, because he was confident, it infused him to action. And because he was assured, God, Scripture says that when God had no higher thing to promise himself by, to give an oath by, he swore by two things that were infallible. One, he swore by himself, and he swore with his mouth, with his words. Two things that will never fail. And Abraham depended on that. And because of that, he had assurance that fueled his perseverance. He got through. He finished well. He finished well because he had the word constantly in him, focused on it. It's what he looked deeply into. It enabled him to have action and perseverance that helped him engage in the mission. And Jesus promises the crown of reign to all those who, through perseverance, overcome this world. So here's the last key, and then I'm closing. How do you what does he mean by overcoming the world? Anyone want to guess? What is that? That's kind of a weird Christian-y sort of thing. Overcome the world. We got a hand up here too? Yeah, relying on the system rather than the hand of God. That's great. How about the hand up there? Not, man, we got a young man up there who's preaching, man. Come on. Not obeying what men says, but obeying what God says. Absolutely. To overcome the world really is right here. This is the world. Because you believe the world. You've been grown up in the world. It's infected your thinking, and it's given you a narrative to believe. And so you live by the world's axioms. You live by the principles of the world, and you have to retrain yourself in the Word of God. So you have a different story being the rhythm of your life. And the rhythm of your life becomes His story. And that rhythm overrides the story of the world. And you overcome the world when you begin to live the story rather than live for this world. Does that make sense? So it's not easy. It's just this day by day. God, I'm going to look into you, and you're going to give to me. And I'm going to start to pick up the meaning. You might be kind of left-footed at first, and you really don't know how to dance, but at some point, you'll be like Chris, and you'll be able to hop and jive, and it's going to flow. It will flow because you'll get the rhythm, because you'll have a new rhythm in your life. Amen? So on this Independence Day, you need to gather up your faith and depend on the promise of God. And that first means if you don't know the promises, then you need to open up His Word and begin to learn them. Told a brother earlier, how do you know where to look? Look at the old stories. Look at the stories in the Hebrew Testament. Why? Because God's interacting with people. And He's showing Himself in the lives of people. Where do you look? Look in the Psalms. Why? Because the Psalms are nothing but prayers of people going through it. I mean, going through it. And they're crying out to God, asking for help. Man, that's how I learned how to pray. And pray the Psalms. You will be taken by Him to the place that you can't take yourself. That is a promise I can give you. It is a journey He will take you on because that's His prerogative. And He has the power to take you into real power. He has the ability to bring you into a treasure you can't make for yourself. This is the story of Abraham. This can be your story. So I'm going to leave you out if you all can stand. I'm going to pray you out. We're going to leave you with this word right here. It's out of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39 to chapter 12, 2. And the word is going to where the prayer will come from to close us out, because the word is a command. And it's an important command. It runs on the heels of everything that I've been talking about, that God, He's looking for deep people. He's looking for people who can persevere because they've heard something that they can jump on board with. They want it. They want it. All these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised. This is all the folks that died for the Lord before Jesus came. Since God had promised, had provided something better for us, you and me, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. We're all going to be made perfect together. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and every sin that clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despised its shame, and is seated at the right hand of God. So, Father, I pray over these people, Lord God, that Your children, Lord God, would look to You, they would look deeply at You, that they would look away from the narrative that the world is teaching them, that they would look away from the story of their lives, whatever they think it is. And, Father, that they would turn to You, that they would turn to Your Word, Father, that they would spend their time, Father, focused on, where do I go from here? How do I start right where I'm at? Lord, You know everything about where I've been and where I'm at right now. You know exactly where I am, and yet I've heard today that that doesn't stop You from choosing me. That doesn't stop You from using me. So, Father, make all of us usable to You. Make us eager to jump in. And, Father, make us willing to take the journey so that we can receive the power. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. And all of God's kids said, amen. Y'all go in peace.